So good to see you. So we have talked about Moses for a few weeks. We have talked about Moses' childhood and the wilderness and the burning bush and 10 plagues. And we can't talk about Moses without the 10 commandments. So I want us to ponder the meaning of 10 commandments. What is that? What does it mean to us? What is the significant meaning of those commandments in our time to us? And let me ask you, how many of you have learned the 10 commandments in your Sunday school or confirmation class? Yeah, I see most of you. Then let me ask you one more thing. How many of you can recite all of them? Oh, yes, I see many hands. Want to see? So, of course, I thought during the week I tried to do that. I tried to recite the 10 commandments. And of course, I thought I can memorize all of them. Sure, why not? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh my. I could come up with only 9. I couldn't remember one of them. I was trying to remember that one really bad, but I couldn't. So finally, I Googled it, and I said, oh, that was the one. Do you know what that is? I will tell you next week. I thought about having the 10 commandments for a sermon series. That'll be great. That'll be great. Then, in a few minutes, I thought it might be a terrible idea saying every Sunday, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, every Sunday. Then probably some of you will say to me, Pastor, you shall not. When you were little, I believe your parents gave you some sort of the rules to live by. Whether you like it or not, you probably follow the rules. You probably have some of them you didn't understand why. And your mom said, or your dad said, because your mom said so. Such as vegetables or seat belt. My father always told me to buckle up, but I didn't like that. I didn't like that. But I know if I didn't buckle up, he was not going to drive waiting for me to buckle up. So I had to do that. It was like, Paul, buckle up. Dad, I don't like that. Honey, buckle up. You know I'm not going to drive unless you buckle up. And I said, Dad, no, I don't like that. It's not fair. And he said, oh yes, life is not fair, so buckle up. Was that because my father was so bad or mean? Or was that because he loved me so much and he didn't want me to die just in case of a car crash? That's the way I look at the 10 commandments. These are the rules to live by. These are for ours, our benefit, not for God. It's for us. They come as a blessing from God. It is like God saying, honey, I love you. I love you so much, and I don't want to be hurt. So here is the thing we need to see. God had just delivered the Israelites from slavery just a couple of months ago. And they had certain patterns of their lives as slaves in Egypt. So God is giving the Israelites 10 commandments. It is like, if you violate these commandments, any of them will make you a slave again. This time, it is not the Egyptian, but the other things that can destroy you from inside out. So out of love, out of love, God gave these commandments. So we have 10 commandments. Let me ask you, how many of them do you struggle with? How many? 2 or 3? Maybe you can count under the chair so no one can see. 10 commandments. I think when we get to the end of the 10 commandments, we find that almost every one of us struggles with most of those 10 commandments. These are the top 10 list God described on the tablet. Not 100, not 1,000, 10. I think these are the 10 things we struggle with the most as human beings. So let's have the first and the second together. It's interesting. Catholic and Lutheran, they count the first two as one, and everybody else, including Methodist, count them as two. So here is the first one. You shall not have God before me. You shall have no gods before me. And the second one is, it's very similar. You shall not make for yourself an idol. So last week when we talk about 10 plagues, we talk about many, many of the Egyptian gods. Hapi, Heket, Hershaf, Sobek, Min, and so many others. In Moses' time, the Egyptian, they had so many kinds of gods, and most of them looked like human beings. Just like you and me, with the face of an animal face. And they had many. So when Moses came to the Israelite, and he said, God has called me to set you free. And their first response was, which one? Which God? Which God has sent to you? Because they knew it. They immediately asked which one, because they knew all of these Egyptian gods. So it makes sense. It makes sense. God said, you shall not make for yourself an image or an idol. No other God but me. And one of the things the Egyptians did in Moses' time, that was they made a miniature of God. And one of the popular ones, that was Anubis, a man with a head of jackal, the Egyptian god of death. They were so scared of death. It was their favorite. Most people were afraid of death, so they thought when they held it and carried it, Anubis would give them a sense of security. So when they went on a vacation or journey, when they went work, they took it with them, always. During the night, they placed this miniature on their bed. Just imagine that. I love John Wesley. I love John Wesley. He was an amazing preacher. I like his theology, sermon, and his way of living. I love him. He is fantastic. To me, he's like Avengers. I love him, and I want to be like him, and I have his miniature. Just imagine that. What if I hold it all the time? When I go on my vacation, I carry him with me. When I sleep, I keep him on my chest. And when I go visit any of your house or hospital, I go with him, and I kiss him every hour, every day, because I love him. It's weird. If I did, you will probably introduce me to a psychiatrist. It's odd. When you look at those first two commandments, we need to think, what does it have to do with us today? None of us tends to worship the other gods. We have one God, the God of the universe. So the question we are meant to ask is, what do we mean by God? What do we mean by God? We need to ask ourselves, what is the most important thing in my life based on how we spend our time, our money, and anything we have? And what is it that defines me, who I am? And what is the thing that I value the most? And what is it that drives me? With those questions, you may say, ah. Even in Jesus' time, Jesus mentioned about mammon. Jesus warned people not to worship mammon, which means money. Even in Elijah's time, all the way back. Then what do we have in our time? In our Western culture, we have three big idols: money, sex, and power. There are so many others as well, such as narcissism and selfishness. It is like me, me, me. The world revolves around me. As long as I like it, I don't care. As long as I want it, I don't care what others feel or get hurt. I'm a big deal. Doesn't it sound like Ramses? We have so many Ramses in our time. And what about inappropriate pleasure or affirmation from others? Work, what you do, can be your God. What you do might be your God if that defines you and if that is your goal of your life. What about my ego, pride, and desire? And let me ask you, which one is more dangerous? Miniature or my desire? And the third commandment, it is, don't worry, this one is the last one for today. I'm not going to go up to 10. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Many years ago, a friend of mine who is a Canadian, one time I showed their picture. I love them. He was shocked to see and hear me saying, God, so many times every day. I said, God, oh God, oh God. And he said, Paul, why do you call God that way? Don't you know the Ten Commandments? Why do you say God that way? So I said, maybe it's from my background. In my home church, when you say God, that means God help me. God give me wisdom. God, I need you. So some people even think that is a kind of a measure of how deeply you are committed and connected to God. And they are even jealous of me saying God all the time. But to him, it is using God's name in vain. Did you know some very conservative Christians don't say or write God? When they have to write God, they write G on the line and D. That's it. You know what? I really value their theology. But I think when God gave the commandment, that didn't literally mean the name of God. It is about our heart. It is about our faith in God, our authentic ways of life as Christians. Do we spend more time and energy in loving God and others? Do we live our lives authentically as God's people? Or do we use God's name or the Bible to harm others? Right after 9/11, there was some Christian who condemned the others, and they called the 9/11 God's punishment. What's interesting is, with the coronavirus, there are some people who called that God's punishment and condemned some other groups of people who look different, who speak different, who have different lifestyle. We may find some differences. Even, you know what, I have Presbyterian background. I can name more than 10 differences between Presbyterian and Methodist. We are different. We may find some differences, but once we begin to harm others with what we believe, once we focus on harming, that's the moment we violate the third commandment. And these three commandments, these are mainly about our relationship with God. Who is the God we are worshiping? Are we worshiping God, the Creator, the God of the universe, or a God, not the God, a God of our own desire or ourselves? So during the week, I want to encourage all of us to think about our own life and faith journey with the Ten Commandments. Because when we are honest before God, when you open our heart before God, none of us can say we are really free from any of them. So may God enlighten us and lead us to the right path in God. Amen.